Jesus' name. Amen. The power of the new covenant, the power of the new covenant or the New Testament, which we call the covenants the New Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, which it spoke about there, God asked the Israelites if they wanted grace or law. I never can understand why they wanted law instead of grace, but that shows you the pride of the human heart. They said, God, you give us the law and we'll obey the law. We like that. We can read the instructions, right? We'll read the instructions. Do this. Don't do that. That will do. Go ahead and give us the law. We'll know exactly what you expect and we'll be able to obey that. And so Moses went up to the mountain. God gave him the law. Do this, do that. And he came down and said, here it is. Now listen, the law, and it said this, the law was good. The law is a good thing. The law is holy. It's Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. He didn't do away with it, he fulfilled it. But the law was good. It told God's people exactly what God expects or expected. But it did not empower anybody to fulfill the law or to obey the law. That was the problem. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Verse 7, it says, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But look what it says in verse 8. It says, for finding fault with them. It didn't say finding fault with the covenant. He said finding fault with them. The fault was with the people. The word faultless, it wasn't a fault in the law or even in the covenant, but it was the fault was in the fact that the people, no matter how willing they were their inability to always obey the law. That was the problem with that. And so we can see evidences of that, and because of the fact that we have to learn a few other things, we have to know some things today. And we look at Christianity today, and this may be in your life too. I know my life was like this a lot in my early Christianity when I first got saved. Man, I didn't understand about that filling of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. I didn't know all the promises that God had made in His Word, and I think that's something that we need to know. But I knew this. I said, well, you know, I just knew right off the bat that there were some things I probably need to quit doing, not know probably about it, that I needed to quit doing, and there were some things in there that I needed to start doing, and I tried with all my might and with all my strength, I would try to do what God said. But then I found that I failed most of the time or a lot of the times in doing that. And I used to think, man, if these people in my church knew what I was doing, they would probably throw me out. And I thought, well, I must be the worst Christian. I knew I had trusted Jesus. That's all I could do. But I thought I was the worst Christian in the whole church. And then I started finding out about the rest of the people. And like we said to Sunday school this morning, I didn't feel so bad. You know, I saw how they were as well. I saw a lot of failures. And so we look at the church today. We see people that have faith to be saved. They believe and they trust Jesus for their salvation, His work on the cross, and they trust Jesus for His forgiveness of their sins. Yet they have not trusted Him for the power to live that Christian life that God called us to live. They don't trust for that. It's a faith issue, really. It's a faith issue, which is a belief issue, which may also partly be part of a knowledge issue, because, you don't know. You can't put faith in, or you can't trust what you don't know. And so it could be a knowledge issue. And so when it happens this way in Christianity, we see struggling, defeated, discouraged, pathetic, and powerless Christian lives. That's what, and I'm saying they're not saved. I'm just saying we don't see the power in their life that could be there, what we see in the New Testament. A matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, he talked about this all the way back in Romans, and if my bookmarker didn't fall out, and it might have, in Romans chapter 7, yep, there it is, no matter how organized you are. In Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul talked about it. He said, for that which I would do, I allow not. For that I would do, that I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. So what he's really saying is, he goes, that I would do, what he means is that I want to do, that I'm supposed to do, that I find I'm not doing. And that I really don't want to do, and that I'm not supposed to do, I find I end up doing that. He's talking, this is a struggle that he's talking about. We see this in Romans chapter 7. He talks about that. And then he goes, and he went right on down. He goes down. He said, now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In other words, I can't do that. I don't find how to do it. For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not do, that I do, which I would not, which he means would not do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, what he knows to do, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then look what he says. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? See what I'm saying? So, you know, we all might have been there and got or be there at that place right there where we say, you know what? I know, and I got this struggle going on. You know, everybody thinks when you get to be a Christian, it's just going to be a bed of roses and, boy, everything. And, you know, and you're just going to automatically do, and there's not a war. No, it's a war. It's a battlefield in here. Huh? It's a battlefield in there. But, see, I got some notes in my Bible. There were some notes, and I can't say it any better. I'll read this to you about that passage right there. He said, in this passage of profound spiritual and psychological insight, the apostle personifies the struggle of the two natures within the believer, the older Adamic nature and the divine nature received through the new birth. The frequent use of the first personal pronoun here and in the preceding section, dealing with the believer and the law, shows that self-effort can neither achieve holiness through keeping the law nor win the struggle against indwelling sin. But chapter 6 in Romans, presenting the way of victory over sin through identification with Christ in his death and the resurrection, and chapter 8, past this one, showing the work of the Holy Spirit on the believer's behalf, used the first personal pronoun only incidentally. And so, you know, he went on, and when Paul said, who shall deliver me this body of death, with its admission of man's total inability to deliver himself from the bondage of sin. So Romans 6, 7, and 8, those are good chapters to study right there if you're struggling in your Christian life. Read them three chapters right there, and it'll show you that. Romans 6, 7, and 8. And so Paul said this question. He said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I got this struggle going on right there. A lot of Christians are in the same place today. And then he says, Jesus Christ. That's the answer to the question. Jesus Christ, through his death, resurrection, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, the power of his Holy Spirit. We have to believe what we have to do. I like Brother Ron Lynch puts it this way. You have to reckon what, and he uses the word reckon in Romans a lot, that we have to reckon some things. We have to reckon ourselves that we have died to Christ, ourselves. The old man has died in Christ. Then we have to reckon ourselves that we're resurrected with Christ, that we're alive in Christ. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, you know, I live, but not I, but Christ that live within me. It's Christ's life that's within me. And we reckon ourselves alive in Jesus Christ. God said it so. The Word of God says it so. You just got to believe it. You got to believe that we're alive and it is Christ. And so just we have to understand it. The Bible is a book. I believe in the dispensations of the Bible. That means that God did certain things certain ways at certain time, and then we move along those things. There's some people out there today. They're called ultra dispensationalists, and man, they've got. They got like 14 dispensations in the New Testament, for crying out loud, something like that, 7 maybe in the New Testament, which I don't believe God's program's that herky jerky. I believe it has a lot more flow to it than that, even though I do believe in dispensations. But they really think, and some people believe that God has a different program for the Hebrew church than it is the Gentile church. I don't believe that because the church was put to everything be reconciled in one body. And so there's promises that God gave Israel that we can claim. Some people say, well, you can't claim the same promises that the Jews claim. There's a lot of them we can. I'm going to give you some of them right now. Thanks for asking. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Bible says, and this is New Covenant, New Testament, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, all of us, all the saved people, Jews, Gentiles, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, see, it says it, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There you go. We're all together, Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2:16, and that he might reconcile both unto God, that's Jews and Gentiles, in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And so we see that. This is the promise that God gave Israel and that the church can claim as well. We have that same promise. I'm going to give you some more. We have better promises. I think I'll get to that in a minute too, but better promises in the new covenant. Jeremiah 31:31 says this. I love this. Behold, the days come. Now, this is in the Old Testament, but he's looking ahead. He said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Boy, when did that happen? Church age, New Testament, huh? But he's talking to the house of Israel. And with the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31:33 said, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts and write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In Ezekiel 36:26-27 says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, I want you to know Ezekiel 36:26-27 was written just before the vision of the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel as well. And I love that text right there. You remember that? There was a whole valley full of dry bones, and they were very dry bones. And God told Ezekiel, said, I want you to prophesy to them bones. Just preach to them old dead dry bones. I know the feeling. I preach to some dead old dry bones every week, right? I know. And he said, I want you to preach to them old dead dry bones. Now, there we are. There we are right there, even in the old, when we're in the New Testament, but we don't understand what God has for us. Even though we've been saved, we've trusted God, we're God's people. He said, prophesy to them old bones. He prophesied to them. Well, guess what? Then there was a clacking and a clanging, and the bones came together, but there wasn't no breath in them, the Bible said. And then he prophesied, and boy, the flesh and all that came onto him. But then God said he breathed on them. God breathed on them bones right there. And then it said, man, there was life, man. I mean, that's when there was life came into them. And here's the thing there. In the picture that I see there as well. You know, we got a lot of bones and we got a lot of stuff going on in the flesh. But you know what? When there's really not spiritual life and there's always defeat and we can't get the victory over nothing in our life, it seems like in the church today, because we're not allowing God or understanding that God will breathe on us with his Holy Spirit and give us life. And we've got those same promises that we see there are what is existing today. This is what God said. You know what he told us? He said, listen, the law didn't work. He said, I'm going to give you a brand new heart. And I'm going to write the law in your heart. It's coming on the inside, not from the outside. He said, I'm going to put that heart in you. And then I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, my breath. I'm going to breathe on you. It's always a picture of the breath. Wind is always a picture of the Holy Spirit, or can be a picture of the Holy Spirit in the Word of God. And so we see that happened, and we see the church. That's the church empowered right there. That's how we are to live our Christian life. Oh, I'm barely making it, man. I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm underneath the ground. I just can't make it. That's not the Christian life that God's talking about in the Bible, because we're not believing the promises of that we've got from God. And so I just got a few points. That's the introduction. I just got a few things I want to share with you about that. We see that this new covenant is better because we see the power to live the life that God intended us to live. That's what's better in the New Testament than it was in the Old. And I'm going to tell you what a great day it was when I realized that I couldn't keep the law in my own strength. It was a great day when I found out I couldn't do anything in my own strength. I couldn't get the victory over sin. I couldn't make myself read my Bible like I should. I couldn't pray like I ought to. I couldn't love God like I ought to. I couldn't love my neighbor as myself. It was a great day when I found out I couldn't do that I just had to surrender myself to God and let Jesus do it through me. When I found that out, boy, it took a lot of weight off of me. It took a load off of me. Let God do it, man. I mean, God's got to do it. We can't. Listen, God's not in the reformation business. He's in the transformation business. Huh? He doesn't reform us to do anything. He transforms us by putting in us a new heart. He puts His Spirit in us. Now, there's knowledge involved. The intellect's involved because He told us to study to show ourselves approved. You got to read the Word of God to know what I'm telling you is the truth. And then you can apprehend that for yourself. Amen? All right. And so the very first point we see, the new covenant is better. It's the power to live of the new covenant is a better mediator in verse 6 of back in Hebrews, verse 6, it says, he went on to say, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much Also, he is the mediator of a better covenant. You know, in the Old Testament, Moses was the mediator. You know, the people, boy, when God was up on Mount Sinai, and they looked up there, buddy, and it was a bunch of clouds and lightning and all that and thunderings, and they looked at Moses. They said, Moses, and Moses was, he drew the short straw. Moses, you go up there and you talk to God and find out what God wants to tell us, and you come back and we'll just wait down here. You see, they were afraid of God, rightfully so. Rightfully so. But he was a mediator, and he went up. And when he went up there, he talked to God. And when he come back, God gave him the law, and he brought the law back down there and say, this is what God said. And they said, okay. But they didn't do it. You know, they couldn't do it. And so that was the mediator there. But now the mediator is Jesus Christ himself. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, man, I'm going to tell you what, I wasn't planning on preaching on this, but I'm going to lay it on you right now. The great thing was Moses had to go up and talk to God. All in the Old Testament economy, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and he talked to God for the people. He'd make an atonement for sin for the people. But guess what? The good news is now, because Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man, and me, and Jesus Christ is living in our heart, and guess what? We have access to God, that we can talk to God. You don't have to come and get me to talk to God for you, even though I do and you don't know it. You don't have to get me to do that. But you can talk to God. You have access to God. This is what's better. That's better. Remember when I was preaching a couple of weeks ago about the high priest, and he got to walk into the Holy of Holies? He went in there once a year, and the ark was in there, but there was the visible, tangible presence of God. It filled up the Holy of Holies, man, and he walked in that. Can you imagine that? Guess what? You can have it. You can experience. You don't have to wait. You don't have to let the high priest, that human high priest do that. You can have that same access to God, to come into the presence of God yourself. Boy, isn't that better? Huh? That's a better mediator right there. And so we can do that. And what a blessing that is. And then the next thing we see, it's a better grace. In verses 7 through 9, it speaks about that. You know, the Old Testament, there was grace in the Old Testament. I'm going to tell you another thing. I'll tell you why. Here's what I'll tell you. Faith. A lot of times, you know, we're saved by grace through faith, okay? Through faith. There's the mediator. Everybody's got faith. I believe God put faith in everybody of some sort. We had faith before we got saved. But I real easy examples. I always use this one here. You had faith when you sat on the chair you're sitting on today. Lost, saved, or indifferent, it doesn't matter. When you sat down, there wasn't any doubt in your mind, much doubt in your mind, that the chair would hold you, right? You knew that. You have faith. We exercise faith all our life before we ever knew God. We exercise some kind of faith. It would be faith in things. Wasn't faith in God. I understand that. But we have faith. Listen, we inherited sin from Adam and Eve, right? We became sinners. All right, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners, and there's a difference. We inherited sin from Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve were worshipers of God. Guess what? We inherited the capacity to worship God. We got a bone in our head that is faith capable. We have a bone in our head that is God will acknowledge God, or we can worship God. We have the ability to do that. So that is there. We inherited that from Adam and Eve as well. So we get to the Old Testament before Jesus came, and God went to Abraham. He said, Abraham, now here's grace. He said, he goes, follow me. I'm gonna lead you to a place I'm going to tell you of later on. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. It's another place I'm going to lead you to. Abraham left his family, left his home. Guess what? Did Abraham deserve it? No, he was an idol worshiper. But God, out of his grace, chose Abraham. That's an election verse. He chose Abraham. But Abraham also had to make a decision. God didn't make him follow him, right? Abraham had to make it. His will was involved here. He said, follow me. He had to follow him. And so Abraham followed him. All right, but that was a measure of grace, that God chose Abraham. Nothing that he deserved. Nothing that he deserved at all. He pulled him out of there, right? Okay, so he went. Abraham had to make a choice. He followed him. Back in the Old Testament also, right? Remember when Elijah, when he went up against the prophets at Mount Carmel, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. There was a choice that had to be made right there, right? He said, choose that day. And so we see that as well. And so here we got this, the grace of the Old Testament, faith in the Old Testament, we see that. But there wasn't enough grace in the Old Testament to continually abide in the faith of obedience. Now, some of them did very well. In the Old Testament, the promise was this. God said this, if you will, I will. See, it was contingent. If you do this, I will do this. That's what he said. You know, if you'll seek my face, you'll be faithful. In the New Testament, he said, I will. Not that repentance and things aren't involved in that. We talked about it in Sunday school hour. But He said, I will do this. And the I will of God is that He changes the sinner's heart and He puts His Spirit within the believer. And that is the power to do comes from God, not us. God puts His, He puts that power in there. Now listen, it's not irresistible because, how many of you here say? Everybody here say? Everybody raise your hands if you say. You got to feel testimony to God. Don't be afraid. Everybody save. You know you're saved, all right? Now, how many of you always obey God? Count the hands. Somebody count for me, will you? Oh, yeah, none. All right. But did you have the Holy Spirit? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit's dwelling in your heart, right? Is the Holy Spirit leading you to disobey God? How come you resisted and how come you didn't listen? Because you can. You can. You can resist God. You can resist the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it in His own self. He said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised. He said, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. He's talking about His own people. It's possible, right? Amen. And so we see, but what happens? God has to change our heart. And when we have the power within, it comes from God. It doesn't come from us. And we see, so we got a better grace. We got a better mediator. We got a better grace. And the third thing is we got a better dynamic. And we see it in verse 10. Where it says that in verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So now we got a new heart. We've got a new spirit. We got the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in it. We've got a new nature. All things become new. All things become new. Everything's new. See, the law was an external force. And grace is on the inside. Faith is, you know, that faith, God put a new spirit within us. And it's always this way. You know, sometimes we do things that we don't want to do it. We don't have to do it. But we get it, we do it sometime, right? We don't want to do it. But if you ever notice how, and we can do it. Demeanor's different, attitude's different. And if we can get out of it, brother, we're going to do it. Huh? Somebody looked out the window this morning and said, man, I saw three snowflakes. I don't think I'm going to church. I looked on TV just to see, man. There was people shutting churches down before the first snowflake ever fell. I'm thinking, man, they didn't want to have it to start with, right? The Bible says, love believeth all things, beareth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, right? And I'm not saying there's never a time that probably a good idea to call it off. But we fail. By way of illustration, I'm just using that for illustration, but we fail. But now when you want to do something, hardly nothing will stop you. Huh? Even though both people can get the something done, there's nothing going to stop you. So what happens when God changes your heart and you want to? Man, love is a motivator, boy. Ooh. That's it. So there's a better dynamic here. The law said, hey, this is to do the same thing. The law said this is what you got to do. The problem was the people couldn't do it. But when He changed their heart, we changed our heart. Different deal, right? Huh? Something happened. And so now it was an internal thing, work from the inside out. Now here, we don't become holy by trying to obey God's law in our own strength, but by yielding to the Holy Spirit within. Say, God, here it is. Hey, sometimes this is it. This is the prayer for you sometimes. You know what, God, I can't do it. I just can't do it. I don't love you like I ought to. I don't love you like I should. I'm not faithful. I cannot do it. God, you have got to do it through me. That's what I need you to do. That's you confess it. God, I can't do it any longer. You've got to do it. Listen, pastor in the church, man, there's things, brother, I can't do nothing about them. If I could, I would straighten it out in a heartbeat. Short of shooting somebody, I'm not going to get it done. And you know what I do? I learned that when I was a young pastor, I didn't do it this way. But I do it this way. I say, God, here it is. It's your church. It's your problem. I can't do anything about it. And I'll tell you what, God takes care of it every time. Huh? God takes care of it every time. So you know what? You take this old carcass that we got, and you go up there to God, and you say, God, here it is. I can't do it. I've tried. I cannot do it. I need you to do it. And if you surrender yourself, God will do it. God will do it, man. That's the key. And listen, every day, take up your cross daily. Every day, get in the mirror. Look in the mirror first thing, got the mirror on the wall. Get right there. Look at that old guy over there on the other side, that old self right there. That's your biggest enemy. and say, God, there it is. I can't do it. I can't do it. You got to do it. Start the day off like that, brother, and I tell you, God will do something. God will do it. It's got to be done in God's strength. That's the better dynamic that we have than they had. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't have it. There's better forgiveness. We see in 11 through 12, he speaks about that. No, there was no forgiveness under the law. And the law wasn't created for that, actually. Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's all the law did for us, showed us that we were sinners. Forgiveness is only possible through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All the blood, all the old blood sacrifices pointed ahead to Jesus anyway. And that's what took care of. And the Bible says, whosoever will call upon him. Whosoever will call upon him. Old Testament sacrifices brought the remembrance of sin. They knew what they were bringing the sacrifice for. But it didn't bring the remission of sin. That was Jesus. Jesus did that. Our New Testament, our sins are remembered no more. I think that's right there in our verse today. Verse 12, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what it is. It's a better forgiveness right there. Amen? Huh? Every year they had to go make him old sacrifices every year. Shoot, man, if we got all our sins up here, man, and confessed all our sins, and we killed somebody's cow up here, bull up here on the altar today, before we got home, we'd have to get another animal to kill, wouldn't we? Huh? We'd have something messed up before we'd have to have another sacrifice before we got to the house. Better sacrifice, better forgiveness. And then another one, better blessing, verse 13. In that he saith, the new covenant he hath made the first old. How about that? Listen, it's new. It's new in quality, not in time. This covenant that God made is never going to get old. It's never going to get old. And now we have the better blessing. The better blessing is direct access to God, that we don't have to go through another human agent, that we have direct access to God. We can experience His presence. We can experience His love. We can experience His forgiveness. We can experience His power. And all we have to do, listen, is believe and claim the promises that God has for us. You have to know them. You have to read them. You have to see them in the Word of God. Sure, you have to know that. We have promises. God said this, listen, if you're saved, God gave you a new heart. If you're saved, God gave you a new spirit. It's His spirit. And if you're saved, God gave you His power. Man, it's not having, you know, I get out there, man, and my truck's got a lot of horsepower in it, Randy. Man, I get out there, I love going out to Colorado, man. Open that thing. Why have it? Right, Willie? Huh? Why have it if you can't put the hammer down, man? Let it eat. What's the point of having the power? Y'all, nothing kills me worse. You're going down the interstate driving 81. There's somebody in a Corvette going 45 miles an hour on the interstate. What is the point? Get out of there. Let me in that thing, man. Let me see what that thing got. Huh? They got a switch in there you can throw them on, make changes the tone on the exhaust note. They got the race note and then the family note. The family note. Had a little kid asked me one time. It was one of Danielle or Kyle, I think. We looked at a Viper, had a Dodge Viper. And he said, where's the back seat? I said, when you got one of these, you ain't got a... He said, where's the seat for the kids? I said, you got one of these, you ain't got kids. You know, I left them in the dust. Wah, down the road. What's the point of having all that power if you can't do nothing with it? Huh? That's it. I'll do something with mine. It's the same way in our Christian life. And listen, we got the power. Put on the gas. Maybe I should have titled that mess. Push on the gas pedal, man. We got the power to live for God. Huh? Not within us, though. That's why every morning you have a little talk with God. Say, God, here it is. I can't do nothing with it. Huh? Christ has got to live in us. And He will. And He does. Huh? You just got to understand that. Amen? Amen? This is my prayer. Listen. If you're saved, God's given you a new heart, new spirit, new power. You just have to reckon that. It's language out of Romans. And if not, if you're not saved, listen, He will give you a new heart. All right, let's all stand with heads bowed.